All right. Tonight our devotion is going to be on Psalm 66, a song of thanksgiving. I was going to do something else, but Sunday, the psalm that we use for the call to worship, that kind of spoke to me as far as prayer, and I thought that would be a great thing to speak about tonight. So let's go ahead and ask the Lord for His help, and then we'll get right into it. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, to You we come this evening to sing Your praises and to worship You, to lift up our prayers to You, knowing that through Your Word You have told us that You do hear us, that we have our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus interceding for us, and that we have Your Holy Spirit also interceding for us. So, Lord, we pray that You would help us to understand and to hear, to do all the things that we know we are to do with Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us, that if there is anything that I have gotten wrong in this, that anything that's not really in accordance with Your Word, that You would make that quickly disappear from my memories. We pray all this in Your Son's name. Amen. Psalm 66, to the choir master, a song. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. So great is Your power that Your enemies come cringing to You. All the earth worships You and sings praises to You. They sing praises to Your name, Selah. Come and see what God hath done. He is awesome in His deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed over through the river on foot. There we did rejoice in Him, who rules by His might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For You, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet You have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into Your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to You, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to You burnt offerings of fattened animals, with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Selah. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because He has not rejected my prayer or removed His steadfast love from me. Amen. So, if we look at the verbs throughout this verse, the psalm, we see that the psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving and praise. Some of the things we see from verse 1, shout. Verse 2, sing, give praise. Verse 4, worship, sing praise again. Verse 5, come and see. And this is remembering God's act of saving, His great acts of saving. Verse 6 is rejoice. Verse 8, bless, and God's blessing His people. Verse 10, test. And then again, another blessing. This is God's actions towards His people. Verse 13, perform, as we performing our vows to Him. Verse 15, offer sacrifices and perform vows. It's verse 16, coming here again, remembering God's act of salvation and blessing. Verse 17, cry. Verse 20, another blessing from God. So everyone, especially his elect people, are expected to praise God. And this psalm shows that God is very praiseworthy indeed. He is praiseworthy in three things here, we see in this psalm here. One is the general instances of his dominion, his power, and his goodness in the entire creation. Two specific instances of God's mercy and blessing to the church, his people. And then finally, the psalmist himself is praising God for his own experiences of God's goodness to him, and particularly the answering of his prayers. So this psalm and all the others was meant to be sung. And you see that in the preface to the psalm, to the choir master, a song, a psalm. And what is it that makes singing different than other things, like just reciting? Well, singing is more focused than just plain speech. It requires more modulation of your voice, and it takes more effort than just talking. And therefore, when we do it, we are more heartier and more zealous in our thanksgiving as we sing the psalms. And remember, we are to glorify God, quote, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Our praise of God should be open and joyful, like those who are not embarrassed or ashamed by our God. And our praise should be made glorious as far as we can. We should extol God's holy name in a way that is suitable to its dignity, so that God would receive his due and deserved adoration. That's something we are going to do here later on tonight, is lift up our prayers of adoration to him. And the psalmist is not satisfied with just a moderate declaration of God's glory, or just kind of like saying, oh yeah, God's good. But he's extolling us to celebrate God's goodness to his people in a manner that is proportional to the excellence of his name. And we know that God's name is above all other names. From Psalm 8 we hear, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So, our greatest praise should be directed to our God, for he has powerfully and mercifully made us and saved us. Who is to call and praise God? We see that in the beginning, God has called all lands and all nations to praise him. And one day, most certainly, they will, for God has spoken it. In Revelations 14, verses 6 and 7, we read, Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead, with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Now God cannot be worshipped as an unknown and far away nebulous sort of God, because he has given us so much to know about him, to know him by. He has given us his word, and it's in the Bible here. He has blessed us with innumerable mercies, and he has given us himself in the form of his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be saved from our sins. Now, sometimes our praise lacks zeal and focus, and that might be because we don't have many reasons for thanksgiving. I hope that's not the reason. For God gives everyone the reasons and the subject matter to praise him. We are thoughtless and blindly overlook the awesome works of his hand. Verse 5 says to us, Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of men. That is the psalmist telling us that we have overlooked many things that shows us, that points us out the goodness of our God. And the psalmist exhorts us and directs our attention to things we have previously overlooked. Things that were easy for us to see if we only had the desire to look for them. Another reason that we don't praise God like we ought to is that we don't attentively search out those things, those works that he has done, which praise himself. The works in which he displays his own glory. It's because, again, God not only gives us plenty of reasons to glorify him, but he gives us all the subject matter that we need. Who can honestly say that God has not been exceedingly faithful and merciful to them? I don't think anybody in this room could. I don't think anybody in the world could. We need not look any farther than really our own lives to see his awesome deeds and discover the best grounds for praising God. The psalmist then dives into 8 lines of Bible history, recounting the suffering in Egypt of the Israelites, the exodus from slavery, and the bringing of his people out to a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where everything was already there waiting for them, houses and farms, orchards, vineyards, all things made by other people ready for them. Verse 12 here tells us, "You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance." And truly, they did go through fire and they went through water. They went through all kinds of pain to get to Canaan. And that is definitely a place of abundance for them. The entire church itself, well, the entire early church went through many times of sorrow. But once through them, they were in that place. And God brings his beloved people into troubles so that the comforts afterwards are much sweeter and the results of the troubles are the fruit of righteousness. These lines also recount how God tests his people, tests them and makes them more like himself. Verse 10 says, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us like silver is tried." Silver is tried or made better by heating it up until it melts and then cutting off or kind of scooping off the scum that floats off the top. And then the silver is allowed to all cool and harden. And then this process is repeated over and over again. And we too go through this trial after trial. Until we are rid of our dross. And it might seem sometimes that in the deepest portions of our trials that God has turned that fire all the way up and then he's walked out of the room. And nothing could be further from the truth. God loves us and he wants the best for us. And in truth, he creates that fire and then lovingly and skillfully tends to it, never letting it get too hot where we would be burned up, or too cold where the fire would be useless. We are constantly in his hands and constantly in his thoughts. Isn't that something to praise him for? So, after stirring up his hearers, the psalmist stirs up himself and praises his God. He praises God by telling all you who fear God of all the great things that God has done for his soul. He tells of the tests and trials that God has brought him through and the proofs that God's work had the intended results. God's answer to his prayers was a fresh assurance that his heart was sincere before God, that the trying and testing had worked, and that God is worthy of praise and thanksgiving. So let us give praise and thanksgiving to our God, he who is worthy of our best. For he is willing to hear our prayers and is merciful and gracious to answer. Let us strive every day to worship, praise, thanks, and all those other action words that we had spoke of earlier. Let us do them with every fiber of our being and every bit of strength that we have. For he is worthy, and it is his right to expect our praise. Turn all your praise to God. Otherwise, as Spurgeon said, quote, Devotion, unless it be resolutely directed to the Lord, is no better than whistling to the wind. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you not only for the words on the pages here, but your word, Christ Jesus, who has came, who has walked this world as we do, yet without sin. He has given himself for us. He has saved us for himself. We pray, Lord, that we would glorify him with every bit of us, ourselves, our hearts, our minds, our souls, our strength. May you be glorified in the things that we do here and in everything that we do, everything we say, everything we think, that you might be glorified and enjoyed as we are set here to do. First Christ's name we pray. Amen.